You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. The trio filled with empty promises.
The Jeff O'Neill show with the noodles.
I don't know. I think it would
dog and late. Noodles.
It would start late and early.
Yeah, you wouldn't get off to a 12-2 start.
Exactly.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Not exactly sure how there's unemployment because I had a blowout today at Dollarama.
What do you mean you had a blowout at Dollarama?
Dollarama is my new go-to place for like anything, appliances or like,
yeah,
not just house stuff, like toilet paper, whatever. Because you go there, you buy 15 things, it's like $12. Perfect.
$15.
Whatever, $15.
I know, I'm just teasing. It's awesome. I love that place.
Go to the cashier, 45 people in line, 8 tills. Guess how many people are behind the tills?
One.
Well, how could there not be other people that are doing nothing at home saying, I can't work? Go behind a till.
It's the dollar store, man. That's what comes with. You get what you pay
so
for.
So let me guess. They say dollar store. It's not just about the discounts. It's they're going to get you on the back end of it. You're going to suffer in line.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I would guess that's kind of a random
Dude, occurrence. I couldn't stop myself. I said to the lady, I'm like,
it's frustrating.
There's 25 people in line. Can you not get on the radio and radio somebody else in?
Yeah,
but what if she's the only person in the store? Like, did you see anybody else?
There's a bunch of people in the store acting like they're counting stock in the Christmas. No, you're not.
Yeah. Now, I understand the frustration, but I would guess Thursday afternoon at whatever time, they're not expecting
a caravan. Dude, it's a problem all over the world. You go to any big giant store like a Home Depot, any kind of place.
Well, eventually it's going to be all computerized anyway. Everything's going online.
Good.
Well, watch what you wish for. Watch what you wish for.
Have you ever stood in line behind a dope at the grocery store trying to weigh his bananas out and punch in the code?
As a customer, you got to wait in line like that. It's such a big store. You go there, you're a regular. You're a good customer.
You're a regular.
I am. I'm a regular.
You need a Dollarama like punch card.
A fast pass.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that, though. Get a fast pass and get. But you're right, though. It's like going through the airport on the way back. Everyone thinks, oh, this is great. I don't have to go through customs. Yeah, you do. You have to wait in line, and then people have no idea what they're doing when they're trying to get their passport in, and then they've got to call over the one person who's there trying to convene everything.
It's dope central.
Watch what you wish for, man. Don't let the computers take over society.
And you know my catchphrase.
You don't want to see that happen.
You know my catchphrase.
Let's go.
Believe me, I don't know how many times I've had to say it. And that comment doesn't come with prejudice. Like, I say it to everyone. Like, they get a let's go if they're slow and holding everyone up.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but that's society.
Went to a movie the other day, a person standing in line gets up to the front and then decides to start looking at the menu. We've all been in line for 10 minutes, then gets up there and then starts asking, what's the price of this? I'm like, it's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
Let's go. Like, the movie isn't waiting for us. I get frustrated, the lack of efficiency in this world. And I get it, like, if I just took a chill pill and waited 2 minutes, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
That's the opposite side of the ledger. Everyone's in such a hurry. Where are we going?
What are we really doing?
We're not doing anything.
Grocery stores are the same way. There's a lot of people that work really hard there. But if you're going to go in the automated line and run things through, like, know what you're doing. Don't get there and then realize, hey, I'm going to need some help here.
The problem is there's no crash course. You know, the first time you ever use that is the first time you're ever going to be using it. You can't try it at home. You can't go to school. You're not going to go to university and learn how to use an automated checkout. You know,
I agree.
Walmart's
don't let the computers take over. I saw on the internet yesterday some guy married a hologram.
Oh, that's coming. Yeah, that's happening. That's like that movie Her.
Yeah.
Remember that with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
But Scarlett Johansson is the voice, and I gotta admit it. You could do worse when it comes to robots.
I know, but this one was, I believe it was in Japan. The guy married, like, there was a doll there, but it was.
If you got invited to that, would you go?
No.
If someone you know that you were close with, someone in your inner circle, let's say O decides to marry a robot, and O extends the invitation. All right, me. I decide to marry a robot.
Right.
Would you guys
come? What
kind of
robot would I marry?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a hypothetical.
But if you sent me a note saying I'm marrying a robot, I would say I'm not your friend anymore and I'm not going.
You cut me out of the loop.
Yeah, because you're crazy.
But that's where this guy is. married a hologram yesterday or the other day, and it was a big news story yesterday.
That's going to happen in the future, believe me. That's coming.
People are marrying robots. There was a movie about a guy that was in love with his cell phone, I think. What was the guy's name?
It's called Her.
It was called Joaquin Her. Phoenix. I think Joaquin Phoenix was in that. Pretty sure Scarlett Johansson was the voice. You could do a lot better than Scarlett Johansson.
So the guy... What's so funny about that?
I literally just said
you
that.
You just said that?
Oh.
Like the whole thing, I just completely regurgitated all of the lines and everything.
You were like...
Did
I say repulsive?
I look up at Malls. Malls is already cutting it. Like, he's not even...
Go back and splice that together, because that sounded very familiar. I just said was very familiar to what you just said.
Yeah. Anyways, you're right. That's what it was. And, I mean, the wave of the future is robots and AI and all of this stuff. There's, I believe, the first AI news reporter the other day.
Well, that's scary. Imagine sports radio. Some guy comes in, it's robotic takes about the Raptors game last night.
But a guy said Freddie the Goat's having an awesome season. That was a robot.
That's
Ian
a
Graf.
Human being.
No, that's Ian Graf.
No, that's a human being.
Here's the other thing, though. I think this could work the other way in a positive state. Imagine if there was an AI, the three of us. We'd have to put the information into that AI. So he could be sitting on his couch with the information and talking, and the AI spitting it out.
Interesting point, because I could use a body double tonight, because I got Packers Seahawks tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And then Leafs in San Jose taking on the Sharks. So it would be great if I could punch a button and the AI or robotic version of a husband showed up, and then if my wife needs me to do something tonight, it's like, yeah, he's going to go take care of that. You know, it's snowing tonight. Yes, I'm going to send him out to shovel, or we got to take out the garbage, because then the real human slob of a person can just sit on the couch and watch the football game, the hockey game.
You know what? Your wife was sick, and you gassed her the other night. You went to the guest bed. What if she goes, hey, AI, want to cuddle?
He's in. You're out.
That could
be. Do you want to cuddle?
That's a good point. That's when you get in. Imagine that. You just come to blows with your own artificial intelligence, your own robotic double. You start fighting because he's trying to mow your lawn.
And that guy
wins.
He
wants to watch sports. How about we spoon?
Do you think Vern Lundquist would trust his own robotic double?
No, because he knows the thoughts behind it.
If he programmed that little rascal, he knows that... lawn mowing robot would be all over it.
You would be strangled in the basement, and the robot Vern Lundquist would be upstairs just getting after.
That's
it.
The biggest
pouring
fear.
Wine for my wife. For
I remember watching
grapes, pouring wine, all the whole nine.
I remember watching that TED Talks or whatever with Elon Musk, and he had talked about he believes the future AI could. It's dangerous because it could take over.
Like, literally the Terminator.
Yeah,
he's like, the Terminator's going to happen.
Right, because if they end up growing their own minds, and then they're going to be able to overpower people. But he also said in the same chat that he feels that in some grand scheme, we could be living in a video game. And somebody else in an alternate universe is working your body.
And we're getting aggressive.
Now,
but what do you think? Like, what if you got a robot at home? When you come home, there's just a giant plate of nachos and a case of beer on ice, and it's like, I have the Seahawks on the TV for you, Brian.
So you're saying it's actually one just to make your personal
if
life feel better.
If you want to go out with your buddies after, I don't care.
That's why I'm saying some guys are going to start marrying robots. Like, you know, believe me, it can go both ways. Women are probably going to be very intrigued as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll see.
They could shape the body. You don't have to.
You don't have to deal with what we are currently bringing to the table. Always reviewed the tape, or Mullen has reviewed the tape.
How does it sound?
48 seconds in between. 48 seconds in between.
It was 48 seconds.
Me referencing the movie Her, Joaquin Phoenix, Scarlett Johansson.
Do we have like the sound?
Can you splice it together? I don't want to wait 48 seconds, but okay, let's hear it. Oh, that's coming. Yeah, that's happening. That's like that movie Her. Yeah. Remember that with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
People are marrying robots. There was a movie about a guy that was in love with his cell phone, I think. What was the guy's name?
It's called Her.
It's called Her. I think Joaquin Phoenix was in that.
where were
I don't know. I honestly
we were like
had a meltdown.
Five minutes into the show. He's still mad about Dollarama.
I think Dollarama. Yeah.
I think Dollarama got into
control.
Your head. Like,
it's just completely messed with your whole program.
That was at 4:06.
48 seconds removed.
Can I hear that again? Because I can't. I don't think I heard. Let me hear it again.
Oh, that's coming. Yeah, that's happening. That's like that movie Her.
Yeah.
Remember that with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
People are marrying robots. There was a movie about a guy that was in love with his cell phone, I think. What was the guy's name?
It's called Her.
It's called Her. I think Joaquin Phoenix was in that.
Bill, we were there. Have you gone mental? Hello.
You are Phil from Wayne's World.
Awesome.
We all saw Crucial Tot last night. We were all at the Gas Works. Phil, we were there.
Have you gone mental?
Awesome.
Anyway, the Raptors game last night, that was great theater. I'll say that.
Okay,
incredible theater.
I watched it. I was back and forth, and I made sure to watch. First and foremost, I was tracking it. I'm like, okay, they are rinsing Detroit. Like, this doesn't look very good. At one point, I thought it was 19.
They were up by 19.
Yeah, so it was.
Which
like
it was a choke job by the Raps.
Right.
They choked that game away.
So I kept going back and forth, and then I get back near the end, and it's close. So I'm like, okay, I got to tune in. I got to dig in on this. When Kawhi booted that ball away with like 2 seconds, did you see? I didn't know his name. Number 7 for Detroit. Go back and watch the tape, because he's guarding him. He starts clapping and laughing.
Oh, really?
His reaction.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That's what I noticed, because we're all staring at Kawhi's reaction, because he's frustrated with himself. It happens. You know, he's such a great player. It's a mistake. But if you watch the guy who's defending him, I rewound it like 10 times, because you can hear him. Like, you could see him yelling.
Like, mocking
him
almost.
Yeah, and clapping. Way to work. Like,
so it would have been Stanley Johnson that was on him. I wasn't even paying attention to who was on him, because Kawhi, you're thinking,
technically,
this is it.
I thought he was going to have a lane to
absolutely.
The hoop, and he's going to win it.
His stat line was great last night. He played very well for about 45 minutes, but he had a meltdown down the stretch. He turned the ball over multiple times offensively last night in the final minutes, and Kawhi's finish was a microcosm of the Raptors' finish, because you're up 19 at home against an inferior team. You got to close that out.
Right.
You got to win that game.
The score was irrelevant for me. At the end of the game, I didn't care who won or who lost. All I cared about was the cameras going right to the coaches to see if there was any kind of handshake. And Dwayne Casey, he made sure that every time he exited and entered, usually they all go through the same tunnel.
Yeah.
And last night, he did not even think about it. He went left of his bench where everybody, they would all funnel through the same place. He made a point of not going through there. Then at the end of the game, he was like, this is a class organization, MLSE, Cope, Tannenbaum. What name did he obviously leave out?
Well, yeah, he left out Masai.
Yeah.
Which that is the guy. He left out Masai, and of course he left out Nick Nurse. That was intentional.
Yeah.
Like, he's pissed off at these people, as he should be.
Absolutely.
Like, the guy won Coach of the Year and got gassed. And that's what I took from that game. I didn't care about the game at all. I just wanted to say, is there going to be any kind of handshake? And Dwayne Casey, he knew it was his opportunity to rush into that corner where he can avoid everybody and then just go back through the other exit and gone.
I have to be honest. Like, I want the Raptors to win. I want them to have tremendous success. I kind of was happy for Dwayne Casey last night.
So was
I. Now, I don't know. Like, that's the wrong word, because I would have liked to see the Raptors win in overtime, or, you know, it ended up being great theater at the end. But part of me, I think the human side of me, and knowing Dwayne Casey a little bit, I don't know him as well as other people, but you could tell he wanted that so bad. And every player on his team ran to him. Like, that was like, it was almost like that. I don't know how Detroit's going to be this year, but that was almost like their championship early on.
His reaction, I've never seen him react that way.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that.
I've never seen him react that way. He had won 21 playoff games, I believe, as the Raptors head coach, multiple game sevens.
Yeah.
And I never saw him react that way.
He's never
shown that kind of emotion. He's always been, he's caught himself in all business and go shake hands. He was like a fanboy almost after that game.
But I loved how his players they won it, and it, immediately everyone ran to him.
Like they knew it was all about him, right? Like, yeah. You guys, I'm sure, have been in that position before.
You want to win for a coach.
Yes, and like, Toronto's been on the opposite side of it before. I remember when Pat Burns with the Leafs first played the Montreal Canadiens, and he won, and he gave the big fist pump, and it's a famous clip that every Leaf fan has seen, and everyone remembers it, because right. He left Montreal, and he came to Toronto, and we know what happened. Right. And the Leafs beat Montreal. I believe it was the first time. I want to say it was at the Gardens, but it might have been at the Forum. I can't remember. But this was the opposite side of it with right. different context, because Burns, I don't remember if he technically got fired, but I think he kind of left. Like, he right. wanted out of Montreal, and then he took the gig in Toronto. Casey didn't want to leave.
No.
Casey had no interest in leaving, and I think he obviously has always felt, since he got fired, that he was the scapegoat. I don't think he likes the way that they treated DeMar, which I think he's got to be careful
yeah.
about, because the Pistons are going to do that to one of their players at some point.
Exactly.
You know, the business. And I think, okay, you got it out of the way. I think it's in the best interest of Dwayne Casey to just let it go now.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for me to say it, but
one game, like, you made your point.
You
like
got your point out. You took your kind of backhanded shots, and Blake Griffin was acting like a hero after the game
yeah.
and taking shots at the Raptors like he has any clue.
Yeah,
he hasn't won a thing in his career. I don't know why Blake Griffin feels like he's an authority. He had a great game last night. He's yeah. a good player.
But I thought that was a little bit much. But
yeah, stay in your own lane.
But it was almost like I'll come back to the play. Players wanted to do it for him. They got carried away too. You know, I would like if Blake Griffin continues banging on that drum. But like last night, you can almost be like, okay, we get it. Yeah, if it's a one-off, I'm fine with it, because they were emotional for Dwayne, and I think they kind of sat back and probably saw how it went down. And you're like, hey, you want guys to be treated well. But ultimately, I think both organizations are happy where they're at. Like I'm sure that Detroit is ecstatic to have Dwayne Casey there.
Yes.
He's making a lot of money. And
they're in a playoff spot right now.
And the Raptors have moved on, and they upgraded in personnel with, you know, Kawhi is, you know, regardless of what you think, he's an upgrade.
Yes, he is. So, Dwayne Casey would be the first one to tell you that.
Right.
As much as he loves DeMar, that's what I'm saying about his comments. And I, you know, he can support DeMar because that's his guy, and they're both on the outside looking in. If Casey was still the coach of the Raptors, he would have loved that trade.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he doesn't still love DeMar, but he would have taken Kawhi Leonard over DeRozan any day of the week. Every coach would.
In any pro sport, it's a business. And if you can upgrade, you do.
Yes. Chris Pronger is going to join us just after 5. Ray is traveling. He's calling the game in Anaheim tomorrow night. Leafs about to face a back-to-back. They're in San Jose tonight, so we'll tee that up. A lot of injuries throughout the NHL. We'll tell you more about that as well. And big Thursday night, our Packers in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. Jabari Greer will be in studio at 5:30. Maple Leafs in action tonight. They're in San Jose taking on the Sharks. And they have not won in San Jose since 2011. Which wouldn't surprise anybody. They always have problems in this rink.
It's a tough building to play in.
Like, yeah, San Jose's like always a good team.
But that team's good. They start quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. The first 10 minutes is the whole game. I don't know. I don't think as a goaltender I've ever not faced 10 shots in the first 10 minutes. Like, San Jose comes flying, and it's really a tough building to play in.
Freddie should be incredibly fresh, because his last two starts were against Jersey and the Kings, where I'm not sure he actually faced more than like 10 quality chances.
Yeah.
They were two blowouts where the Leafs just steamrolled both teams.
Yeah.
Didn't play yesterday. You're in California, not a lot of travel. This is a game for Freddie tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first 10 minutes, because you're looking at what's going on now. Vasilevsky, fractured foot, out at least a month. That's a massive injury.
Yeah.
Tampa's got so much talent. I think they'll be okay, but
it's a goalie league, though.
It is a goalie league, and yeah. Vasilevsky's one of the best of them. So it opens the door for the Leafs. The Bruins are suffering from injuries. Char left the game last night. McAvoy's still out.
Yeah.
You know, you got an opportunity here for the Leafs.
You got to win your games.
You got to win your games, for sure, but you know, the race is on, and it's more than just the three teams, because Montreal's been a lot better than anybody thought. Buffalo's been way better than people thought. And Florida's starting to get going here. Florida is still in the mix, I think.
That's the one I would put a little star by. And I keep telling you there's this because I saw them play the other day. If they can get any type of sustained goaltending, they're a good team. And you know, I don't think they're, and well, I don't think, I know they are not in the class of, you know, Tampa, Boston, and Toronto, but they are not a bottom feeder team. So they're in that next layer. And, you know, they've got three games in hand on other teams. So what they need to do is win their games in hand, easier said than done. But they're, that Barkov's a real deal too. Like he is,
yeah, no, he's
super, super
smart. Huberto's a good player. Yeah. Trocheck's a really good player.
Yeah, they've got
a good team. I mean, yeah. It's a long run. It just I think what we've acknowledged here is it probably won't be the three teams separating themselves from the rest of the division by Christmas and then never looking back. Now I still think the top three teams are the best three teams. I still think Tampa, Boston, yeah. Toronto are better than Buffalo, Montreal,
I
and
agree.
Florida.
That's why I said they're in the second tier.
They are, but injuries can change that, mm-hmm. right? Like injuries. Now that's why the Leafs are 4-3 without Matthews. That's big. And overall, what are they, 12-6 or whatever?
12-6,
without Nylander is big. You know, it's been an impressive start. But if Freddie goes down, then you're talking about a totally different story. And you know they're panicking a little bit in Tampa. Although I wonder if, when all is said and done, if they can survive this, and again, I think they will, it could be a blessing in disguise because you don't run Vasilevsky into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mid-season break a little bit.
He talked about being tired down the stretch last year. You know, my biggest thing is, and I was telling you guys this off air, like the elite teams that we seem to be talking about day in and day out, let's even just stay in the East, Tampa, Boston, you know, even Washington, Pittsburgh, you know, Toronto in there. Like, their backups, other than Boston, I think Halak is a bona fide meme. Halak's been a starter. And Boston went and spent some money on him because they knew exactly, like, if you're going to hit the ditch with Rask, which they did last year, and Hudobin helped him out, same situation this year. But you look at the backups in all of those situations, they're either unproven or they're proven twos and never going to challenge the one. And Tampa's one, and Louis Domingue is structurally not the best goaltender you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Sparks, same thing. You know, Pittsburgh is having their issues. Matt Murray, what is he, injured? And then you got Tristan Jarry, you got Casey DeSmith. Like there's some bumps in the road. Phoenix Copley played last night for Washington. Like, that's a big drop off from Holtby, who's got an upper body
and
injury
he
too.
Could be out. Kuznetsov left last night.
Yeah, so there's injuries
there's
throughout the league.
There's a lot of injuries right now
throughout
the league.
You know, and like you said, you pointed out, like, Matthews has missed 3 weeks. Today is his first day skating with the troops.
Yes, which I don't think means a lot because it's a pregame skate. There's no physicality. They're not battling for pucks or anything.
No, but
he'd still have.
You said he's a week away. I wouldn't disagree with you. Like, I think week would be a nice timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to rush him. They're not going to force feed him back in the lineup. But if Austin Matthews is structurally ready to go, and, you know, it's a little bit about his timing and conditioning, who cares?
Yeah, you
I'll take
play
85% of that. You just want him 100% as far as the shoulder. Like, he can't come back at 98%.
No.
There is one guy on the NHL docket that I'll be watching tonight. I'm going to watch the Leaf game, pay attention, take my notes because we have the game the next night.
Yeah.
You know who the other guy I'm watching?
Carey Price.
Yep. I just want to see what he's got.
Yeah.
What's up?
This is a week break. Like I argued the other day about it. This guy, there's no excuses now. Like, you've gotten your week break. You've gotten an opportunity to work with Stefan Waite, clean up some stuff, watch some video, mental break, whatever it is. Go play. Now there's no excuses.
Man,
go
play. I just want to see what he's got.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting one.
And you know it's one extreme or the other.
Yeah, it's
like, realistically, that's the way it works in Montreal and in the hockey circles when you're talking about a guy like Price.
Right.
Where, you know, if he stands on his head tonight, you're like, wow, okay, good move. I think he's back. That's the guy we know. If he gives up five, it's like, wow, what is going on with this guy?
Now, if they win, like, the thing is Montreal's given up a lot of goals lately. So say they win 4-3 or 5-4. Like, I'll break down the goals, but I just want to see. I'll give you an example. Connor Hellebuyck made a save last night that...
On the Backstrom play?
No, it was on Verana. 2-on-1. Blocker shot. He just stood up.
That was Orlov.
Was it Orlov? Yeah. Sorry, left-handed shot coming off his off wing. Hellebuyck made it look like he was in practice, just punched it away.
Yeah, he did.
That's what Price does when he's on his game, the patience. When he's not, he would have been down and kind of waving at it and had to reach up for it. That's the type of the detail I would look at. Hellebuck just swatted it away like it was a fly. And the guys who were on the top of the... Freddie would have been the same thing.
The way like, he's playing right now.
The way he's playing right now. There's not a lot of motion in his game. It's very simple. Pucks are hitting him. They die. It's very calm and collected in the net. He's quick, but when you don't have to be that quick when you're in position.
Right.
It hits you. And that's what I'll be looking at. So structurally is one thing. And then, obviously, results, because this is a results-orientated business.
And to that point, I mean, if Calgary wins 4-3 and four of them are backdoor goals, then whatever. Yeah. But, you know, if he lets in a clapper from the point without a screen, you're like, okay, what's going on here?
All eyes are going to be on
it. It's all on Carey Price tonight. And that's what comes with the pedigree of being that type of a goalie and the price tag and the market you're in.
Well, and the struggles.
Yeah, absolutely, considering what's been going on and last year.
Yeah.
Chris Pronger will join us in about a half an hour. Jabari Greer in studio in an hour. We're going to try to call up Mike Fratello, longtime NBA coach and now NBA analyst. Get to that in 2 minutes. You guys see that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant are best friends again? So
I think that's for show. Like, you know all the cameras are on them, so they're going to walk beside each other and chat it up and yuck it up. We had the same scenario the other day with the Uber situation, and then you saw... Matt Duchesne and
Marty Raymond
chatting it up at center ice and laughing it up. Like,
not Marty Raymond, it's Martin Raymond.
Which is...
Okay, well, in this context, who's Marty Raymond and who's Matt Duchesne? Draymond Green, you think, is Marty Raymond?
Yeah. What, do you think he's going to have any influence on Kevin Durant leaving? Interesting scenario. Like, they've won the championships back-to-back. Do they really have a motivation to stay together as a group? Or do they want to separate and say, I want to be the guy? And we've seen this in sports where people don't want to attach themselves to anybody else. They want, you know, I want to go somewhere else and be the guy.
I don't know what it's possible.
Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be LeBron's sidekick. I want to go and try to do it myself in Boston.
Well, careful what you wish
for. How's that working out for him?
In Boston.
Thus far, there's been injuries, blah, 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 but do they want to say to themselves, guys, we got to keep this together? And there's obviously the financial aspect of it. They all want to get paid. And I think Draymond Green's coming up in a year and a half. KD has an option to opt out.
He can go out this year. Klay Thompson's coming up.
Klay Thompson's coming up this year. It's like.
So you think if they win this year, the band will be broken up just financially?
Well, Durant has already technically taken a pay cut to stick around.
Right.
He hasn't been getting the max money. He's been taking a cut, relatively speaking, to stay there and keep the band together to begin with. I think this can go one of two ways. This may actually be a blessing in disguise for the Warriors and for Steve Kerr in particular, because I think in the back of his mind he's a bit nervous with how complacent they are because it's so easy.
Yeah.
Because it has been so easy. A little bit of a spark... A little bit of controversy may not actually hurt this team. It might actually kind of gel them.
Wake them up a little bit. Yeah, get them going.
Show some life. You know, show that you actually care a little bit. And I would say this, as much as Draymond Green at times can be a bit much and a bit aggravating, if he is the source of breaking up that dynasty, I'm team Draymond Green. I've had enough of penciling in Golden State. Sweep NBA final.
Okay,
sweep
so, yeah.
NBA final.
So you're looking at it from a Raptors point of view, saying
just an NBA fan
point
of view. Raptors, I guess, as a part of it to an extent. But yes,
I am too.
Get Kevin Durant out of there.
Breaking it all up.
Yes, be the Yoko Ono.
You are, but that's
play Yoko.
But that's what you are then. Like, you are known as cancer, technically, a little bit.
Play Yoko.
Well, Yoko.
Yoko Ono.
Yoko's been blamed.
Yeah,
she's been blamed for breaking the Beatles up.
You knew that.
I didn't know that. I don't even know who Yoko Ono is.
Well, she's John Lennon's wife.
You don't know who Yoko Ono is.
She was married to one of John Lennon.
Yes.
But I didn't know she like broke the band up or.
The Bare Naked Ladies have a song, "You Can Be My Yoko Ono."
You can be my Yoko Ono.
Pull that
they had
up,
some
Miles.
Sneaky good tunes.
Bare Naked Ladies are outstanding.
Very
brutal today.
Very sneaky, dude. You just outed yourself. How do you not know Yoko Ono?
Dude, I understand she was with one of the Rolling Stones or whatever.
The Beatles.
Beatles. But I didn't know what she did. I'm not into that.
You're not into just general pop culture that everyone on earth is aware of?
Don't know.
That's not your lane?
Don't know. Don't care. You're my Yoko Ono.
Oh, really? How's that?
How am I going to show up?
I'm going to be the Yoko Ono.
It's going to be O-Dog and Noodles coming up.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll
for
take
one show, and then we will be broken up.
And just come in the next segment Yoko. With You Can Be My Yoko Ono.
It's such a great song.
Yeah, they've got some sneaky good tunes, man.
Old Apartment.
Brian Wilson's a great song.
Brian Wilson.
Great song.
Barry Naked, I've seen them several times live. This is a side story, but when they got really big, they had still committed to playing this tiny place in St. Louis. So they were playing, it was almost like the Hip. They were playing in front of 20,000 people in Canada. And in St. Louis, it's like a dive bar, 500 people in the basement. So we went, I think Pronger may have been with me. We went and hung out with them afterwards and chatted them up and stuff. I've met them several times. The drummer is good friends with Cujo. I think he went to school with, grew up with Cujo.
Really?
Yeah, he told me that.
And me.
Oh, you know him too?
Oh, yeah.
You know the drummer of the Bare Naked Ladies?
Of course. Been to functions together a lot.
They're good. And it's, they also, you know what they, how they're printing money right now is they wrote the
Big
song
Bang
Bing
Theory.
Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's huge.
So that just, I'm sure the.
I don't know if Stephen Page was still in the. Like
no.
he, they told him to
well, I think
exit
he,
stage
I think
left.
He may have exited stage left, too. He ran into some issues off the...
upstate New York caused him some problems.
I can't say off ice. What do I say?
off stage. Yeah, he had some off-stage
issues. Off-stage issues, yes.
He did. But as for the Warriors, I'm all for... And the audacity of that team to feel as if they're being slighted by the idea of Durant leaving when they were laughing in the face of the NBA when he came. They were laughing in the face of the Oklahoma City Thunder when he stiffed them and left and went to Golden State. Like, Golden State, you can't complain about anything. If Durant leaves and he gives you three titles and three finals MVPs, you know, that's like a Boston sports fan complaining about something. Yeah. You can't. You're not allowed to do it. You have to shut up. I don't want to hear any complaints. I don't want to hear complaints out of Golden State that maybe Durant could leave. You're lucky he came to begin with. You didn't need him to begin with.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get three straight titles, and then he leaves. So what? Yeah. You're still going to be a great team. Even without him, they're going to be a great team.
They will, but I'd still... It would be sad if that's what led it to.
I don't care.
It's going to be greed.
Something's got to happen.
But complacency?
You can't keep all those, in this day and age, all those egos, all the money, all in the same room.
But this is where the organization says, you know how we talked about the Leafs, like, you can be, William Nylander could be making some money outside of Toronto.
Or because he's a Maple Leaf,
right.
With endorsements and
I
stuff.
I would imagine in Golden State Championships, like the NBA, you could be selling your brand, like Steph Curry probably makes a boatload of cash away from the court. And all of these players
absolutely.
Could be doing that as
well. He's like
well.
The face of Under Armour.
Right.
He's always one of them. And
but shoe deals.
Oh, Durant's
and
making so much. That's why he can take a cut. And he's by cut, he's still making like $28 million this year.
It's
ridiculous.
Like he's,
But in endorsements, he's probably making $50, $60 million, Kevin Durant. Let's get some Yoko Ono, too. Let's get some Bare Naked Ladies and let's play some Yoko Ono because she was. Some of her stuff was so bad. Like John Lennon letting her...
He was actually a musician?
Yeah,
pretend. Because Lennon allowed her to come in the studio and propped her up.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Real tough.
Like
I can't believe you don't know the history of Yoko Ono and Lennon and the Beatles.
Yeah, like that was...
Just don't care, eh?
I don't care.
Paul McCartney is... Like, I mean, that band was...
Paul McCartney, the guy ruined my Super Bowl. I went to one Super Bowl. Like, hey...
That's
Paul
awesome.
McCartney halftime. I'm like, what?
He was great.
That is just a ludicrous comment.
If you went to a Super Bowl, would you want to see Paul McCartney?
I would love to see McCartney live.
Dude, you are so full of
I'd love to see McCartney
I've
live.
I've seen him
live. Love to. I've never seen it. I would love to see it. Be great.
He plays the bass. Like he plays the bass.
Oh, yeah. He plays everything. He can play the guitar,
so
the bass.
So talented.
Chris Pronger coming up in about 25 minutes. Jabari Greer in studio at 5:30. Big Thursday nighter tonight. Packers, Seahawks. Both must-win games for both teams. We'll get to that in the 5 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
They've got a live album. And obviously the big song, If I Had $1 Million. But I like the song, Old Apartment.
That is a great song.
Into.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... They're a good, good band. Now, they recently, I believe... They recently got back together a little bit with Stephen Page to do something. I thought it was for the Canadian,
I think you're right. It was, I don't know if it was the Junos or not.
Yeah, but maybe it was the Junos, but
I think they welcomed him back in, and it's like cool. Their first hit was "Lovers in a Dangerous Time," which was a great song. That would have been probably late '80s. Remember the video? They're just driving around Toronto in the back of a truck, and it's a great video. Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Bruins November 26th. Every day this week, we will provide you with the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow, after the final clue, if you call in and name that Leaf, you're going to see Leafs Bruins. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf has also played for the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers. This Maple Leaf has also played for the Bruins and the Flyers. So that is today's clue. Leafs back in action tonight in San Jose. Patrick Marleau's second time back. Do you think he gets recognized again? Does that happen every time you go back?
No,
it's
but
over and done with.
Yeah, I think you kind of move on from it.
I got booed the first time back in Carolina, and then it was like I was just another guy.
Why did you get booed? You didn't ask. Did you leave or did you get traded?
Who knows? They're just losers, fans. Like,
did you get traded though, or did you get?
I got traded, but I wanted to leave. It was.
Oh, you asked to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, you get a booing.
They won a cup that year, though. I know you know that, but
I'm fully aware of that.
Why are you so agitated today?
Well, how would you like it if you played 10 years on a team, you leave, and they win a cup?
Well, I understand that agitation, but I didn't do it. I didn't play on Carolina.
Yeah.
Well,
Yoko,
I got
Yoko. You're really starting to mess with the rhythm of the studio here.
Yes,
we're trying to knock out a hit.
He's John.
Well, John would be supporting Yoko.
I'm Ringo.
You're Ringo? I'll be George, I guess.
Ringo's kind of a weird dude.
He's still humming. Drummers. He's still doing his thing.
I know. He's milking it.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so Leafs in San Jose tonight. Big Thursday nighter as well. Packers at the Seahawks. We'll tee that up with Jabari Greer at 5:30 in studio. See this Patrick Mahomes interview that's going around about how, I guess he's very self-conscious about his love of ketchup. He puts ketchup on everything, but I guess he stopped doing it in Kansas City because he feels like it's like not kosher or something like that. Like he'll go to a steakhouse and order a steak. He always puts ketchup on his steak.
Really?
He's not doing it because he's like, people are watching me now and they're going to think I'm a freak because I'm putting ketchup on my steak.
I have no problem with a little side dipping sauce, but you can't like put ketchup all on top of it.
All he's got to do is be discreet, but this guy, he can do whatever he wants. He's concerned about ketchup dipping. I mean, this guy.
By the way, ever heard of a private room?
Yeah, I would.
Exactly.
But I guess there's still a server that's going to be like, oh, okay, I guess you want ketchup on that steak? That's an interesting move. Someone's going to be able to witness you doing it. Yeah. Doesn't mean it's other patrons in there.
I'm like, come on.
Live your life. I hear you. But I guess.
Side of fry.
I bet you he. Yeah, exactly.
Side of fry. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. And I bet you he puts Nobody ketchup knows on a thing. Mac and cheese.
That you have to do.
Not for me.
You don't put
macaroni
ketchup?
Macaroni and cheese ketchup? No.
Yeah.
No.
That's a no guy.
Oh, I'm ketchup all the time on that.
No.
Not the authentic, actual,
what are
like,
you,
pasta.
Mama June? Skeddies?
Yeah, I am. I'm Sugar Bear. And Mama June and.
The forklift foot.
Mama June's forklift foot is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
I
want to
see it. I actually never laid eyes on it.
What's a forklift foot?
People are going to send us clips. I want to see a picture of the forklift foot.
It's the most repulsive thing I've ever seen.
What is it?
She worked at some, I don't know, factory,
like
and a forklift fell on her foot, and it just butchered this woman's foot. And Mama June's got, I can't even express what goes on with this foot. There's like maggots and hair and nails, and the foot is all contorted. Her forklift foot. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, we haven't played this game in a while. How much would it cost for you to, for me to eat ketchup off this woman's foot? It would cost $1 billion.
Would you do it for 20 grand?
No. No. Like licking ketchup off her forklift foot? I'm not kidding. 7 figures minimum.
Yeah.
Because I'd have to be institutionalized for like 3 years. I'd have to go to forklift foot rehab.
Yeah. It's,
look at that thing.
People are going to send us pictures saying like it didn't go so well.
Anyway, I am Mama June when it comes to like Kraft dinner.
Yeah.
It's not.
Kraft dinner is all about brown beans and cut up hot dogs.
How is
that worse than ketchup?
What about just Kraft dinner? Like that's
no,
it's
I need
good.
Some ketchup
by itself.
On it.
By
grilled
itself.
Cheese, ketchup. You need ketchup with a grilled cheese. Yeah. Anyway, Jabari Greer in studio at 5:30. We'll get his take on this. Just being in the NFL, being a big player in a big market. Kansas City's not a big market, but he is the biggest fish in that small pond. Just having all the eyes on you.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Mahomes, everyone would know who he is in Kansas City. Everybody. Every move he makes, people are watching. And think about that times infinity with Rodgers in Green Bay. As small as Kansas City is, Green Bay is like 120,000 people. It's probably like five restaurants.
Yeah.
And all the high-end he goes to, and they'd all be like, hey, there's number 12 walking in. So we'll tee that game up with him, and Chris Pronger will join us in about 10 minutes.